11-on-11 action is finally here. The Green Bay Packers return to the practice field for OTAs on Monday. And to preview what's going on, we invited Andy McDonald of NBC 26 in Green Bay. It's all coming up on Railbird Central next. Fans, welcome to Railbird Central at Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Caravu. We're talking some Packers football this morning. We're getting ready for OTAs that begin on Monday. To preview them, we have a guest joining us on the phone today.
Expert interview.
We have Andy McDonald of NBC 26 in Green Bay. Mr. McDonald, how you doing this morning?
I'm good, man. It feels like football season already, doesn't it?
It does. Start of practice, finally. For a football fan, this is what we've been waiting for. So, Andy, without further ado, to kick things off, let's start with the most important player on the Packers team here. With the start of OTAs on Monday, has there been any indication whatsoever Aaron Rodgers will be limited after getting his knee cleaned up in the offseason?
As we should start with number one player, quarterback one, Aaron Rodgers, I wouldn't imagine he's limited at all. I mean, he had cleaned up surgery, just minor surgery over the offseason after the Cardinals lost in the playoffs. And he was golfing a few weeks after that. So when we talked to him this offseason before the draft, he didn't seem concerned at all, and I don't see why. I mean, he had a busy summer, and on that list of the busy summer, one was just minor surgery. He'll be ready to go. He probably won't go through a whole lot in OTAs, seeing as he's a veteran, but he'll be fine, and he'll be ready by training camp, and he'll be ready to go by the regular season.
Yeah, I imagine that's the case. I just had to ask, seeing as it's, you know, hey, if something happened to Aaron Rodgers, everybody would be up in arms, but hopefully that will not be the case. Andy, speaking of injuries, though, how much of a workload do you think they should give Jordy Nelson coming off a more significant knee injury?
Well, all offseason they've been preaching that Jordy's been ahead of schedule, and the kind of the time frame has been training camp, middle of training camp, as the time where you'd think he'd be about 100%. So OTAs, you'd imagine that before schedule, and I don't think they're going to push it. I mean, why would you? The guy has proven himself. He doesn't need to go out there and get chemistry with Aaron Rodgers. They already have that. There's no need to kind of push it. He's going to work his way back into the field, and I mean, I'm sure it's going to be kind of tough to be patient for Jordy, seeing as he wants to get out there and get right in the action. But I think the Packers are smart enough to – he won't see a whole lot of action. You'll see him running routes and doing stuff, but it may only be at 80%, 90% for most of this OTA schedule, as well as into training camp. So he'll be out there. He'll be doing everything with the guys. It just may not be at full 100%, which is completely okay. And Jordy's going to be Jordy. And hopefully you can see the same Jordy that was there before the injury. And I think he's hoping to kind of test it out as well, because he's nervous about that. So I think he'll be out there trying to test the knee out and figure things out. And OTAs would be a good time to ease into things.
Yeah, I wonder if it's one of those things where he takes part in individual drills but not team drills, one of those kind of things. But anyway, do you think Ty Montgomery will be in the same boat as Nelson as far as how much he participates in OTAs?
You would hope. I mean, last year it was just that nagging injury on his ankle that he struggled with. I mean, he wanted to get back. He's a rookie. He wanted to prove himself. And again, that's the reason why Jordy may not feel obligated to be out there, because he's already Jordy Nelson. He doesn't need to do anything to go above and beyond that. Ty, I'm hoping to see Ty out there. It's kind of a question mark to see if he'll be out there. I think he will. all off season to kind of just relax, rehab, get back into things, get back to the Ty Montgomery that we should have seen. I mean, he was ready for a breakout year as a rookie until that injury that just kind of nagged on him and kind of wore him down. And it wasn't major. It wasn't a major injury. It was just the fact that it was constantly there and constantly bothering. So this will be a good time to see Ty back out there. Second year, that's when Packers and Mike McCarthy always want their rookies to make the biggest jump. So if Ty can make a jump, just be out there on the field, I think that would be a great improvement for OTAs.
Yeah, it's one of those kind of things. You want him to be out there. He could use the practice, but at the same time, you don't want to push him too much either. See if I can make this transition here, Andy. Last year, Montgomery missed part of OTAs to attend the NFLPA rookie premiere and finish college. This year, rookie Trevor Davis attended the rookie premiere this past weekend, so it doesn't appear as if he'll miss any practice time. How much of an advantage of that is that for a young player like Trevor Davis?
I think it's always good. It's going to be good. Ty was there with Brett Hundley last year, and it was a California thing. And a lot of California guys go to this just based on the fact that it is out there. It's a good experience for Trevor Davis, but it's also a good experience to get here. And I think we've been talking about wide receivers the last few questions, and that's going to be a big spot because that's a loaded position for the Packers. So the guys that need to prove themselves, this will be a big time. And Trevor Davis, I mean, with the speed, he's going to have to go out there and show it. And it's always big to be out there as much as you can around the team to kind of show who you are and kind of just get in the system of the Packers. And it was good because last year was the last year of the NFL Rookie Symposium. So the Packers this year have their own hands on the rookies rather than the league on the rookies. So it's good for all the rookies to get involved in the Packers system, which is one of the best in the league at drafting and developing and getting them into their system. So that's important. And obviously just being out there with Aaron and all the guys, that is a tremendous help for any rookie.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how that wide receiver situation shakes out because Definitely. There's so many of them this year. But on the flip side to that whole missing practice time of thing, how much of a disadvantage is Kenny Clark at the Packers' first-round draft choice because he can't practice until UCLA finishes school?
That's got to be a tough situation or an interesting situation for him. I mean, you get drafted, you're in the number 27 overall pick in the NFL draft, you walk across the stage, you shake Roger Goodell's hand, and then you have to go back to chemistry and biology and sit in class. It's got to be a weird feeling for him. Serious FOMO, fear of missing out, I'm sure, for Kenny. But overall, I think it is big for a rookie to get there and get OTAs and get it under his belt. But I don't think it's as significant as everybody is completely making it out to be. It would be nice to be there, but since he's not going to miss training camp, he's not going to miss a whole lot of stuff. He'll graduate, and, I mean, I can't stress it enough that, I mean, graduating is a big accomplishment in and of itself. So it's not like he's not going there because he doesn't want to be there. It's because he's getting a degree. He's finishing up school. He's wrapping up that. And he will miss some time, and it'll be a little bit of a setback. But the flip side is he gets his degree, and you can't fault a guy for doing that.
Yeah, I think he'll be back for mini camp, if I'm correct, but we won't see him for a few weeks, I think is how it works out. We're talking to Andy McDonald of NBC 26 in Green Bay here at Railbird Central on a Monday morning. Andy, are you expecting to see a drastically different Eddie Lacy? And do you think he'll tell the media how much he actually weighs?
I believe he will. Eddie's a candid guy, and I think the weight thing, the weight question, just all of the weight kind of wore on him last year. I'm expecting to see a brand new Eddie Lacy. I'm excited to see what he looks like. I don't know if I'm going to recognize the guy. Listed last year, he was 234. So I don't think that number is going to be anywhere close. He may not tell us the exact number, but, hey, if you're down 20, 15 pounds and you have that extra burst and it's evident from day one at OTAs, why not? I mean, he put in – we'll have to see come tomorrow once we see everything happening, but it seems like he put in the work this offseason, and if Eddie Lacy can reach the potential that Eddie Lacy sees himself as, that's a scary prospect. And if that's a few pounds lighter or a few pounds heavier, I think that's a scary sight. So I'm excited to see Eddie, and Eddie's always a positive guy, even though the weight thing was kind of a bug last year. But Eddie's always a positive guy. He's always a smile on his face. He's an energy to this locker room. And if Eddie's happy and Eddie's playing at a weight that can make him the most productive, I think it's going to be a fun time.
Yeah, it'll be fun to see him out there with some lost weight during the offseason. Do you think there's any chance the Packers bring back John Kuhn to be Eddie Lacy's lead blocker?
I think there is a small sliver of chance. I wouldn't rule it out completely. But right now, it doesn't look likely John Kuhn could return. I mean, he'd be making likely a veteran's minimum, which is almost $1 million. So he could return. I wouldn't see if they did sign him, I wouldn't be surprised. But if they didn't sign him, I also wouldn't be surprised at all. He's been a main point, a staple of this organization for the last so odd years, and it would be odd not to see him. But he is not as much of a focal point of the offense as he's been in years past, and it would be sad to see him go, but that's just kind of the way of the world in the NFL these days.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. There's been a lot of speculation about what's happening to John Kuhn. It's been kind of mum coming from both the Packers and Kuhn himself, not really commenting on the situation much. But whatever happens to Kuhn, how important will this offseason be to Aaron Ripkowski, who, of course, plays the same position?
I think it was big. I think it was big when they drafted Aaron Ripkowski out of Oklahoma last year, late in the NFL draft. I think he did a lot last year to kind of prove himself. He played in 15 games. He was a special teams guy that did a lot. He only had one reception last year in the Carolina game, so he didn't touch the ball at all on offense for the most part. But I think it'll be big for him because if he had learned under the tutelage of John Kuhn and those guys and kind of figured his way into the offense a little bit, I think there may be no reason to keep John Kuhn as sad as that sounds. But Ripkowski, I mean, he seems like a worker. He seems to put his nose in there, and that's what the Packers want, especially out of rookies and guys that are looking to make the team, is to play special teams and do what you got to do to make the roster. And I think he's doing that. We'll see if he can transition into a fullback role that the Packers have used in the past, where it's short yardage, near the goal line kind of thing. But it's possible. I don't see why not. I mean, from all indications, just playing special teams and making the roster and kind of doing everything you have to do, I don't see why not, why you couldn't see Ripkowski more on the field, maybe on offense this year and definitely in OTA.
Last question, Andy, before we let you go. Yes or no, will Aaron Rodgers' brother win the Bachelorette?
I would say no. That's just the initial indication. I would not imagine he is going to win the Bachelorette in JoJo's heart. Not this year, unfortunately.
the odds are long. Just the numbers work against him, I guess. Anyway, Andy, yep. Thanks much. I know that isn't much of a football question, but thank you so much for taking some time to talk some football this morning. Appreciate it. Appreciate your insight. Enjoy OTAs and covering them, and keep up the good work at NBC 26.
Thank you, Brian. Thank you so much for having me.
Okay, take care. Andy McDonald, NBC 26, joining us here at Railbird Central on a Monday morning as we get ready for OTAs here at Railbird Central. Let's continue on with the show.
Packers news of the day.
As far as, you know, Packers news over the weekend, since our last episode of Railbird Central, new Packers wide receiver Trevor Davis participated in the NFLPA rookie premiere this past weekend, putting on his game jersey for the first time while getting photographed for sporting card companies like Topps and Panini and Madden for EA Sports and others. And a lot of those pictures were shared by the Packers on social media or by the NFLPA or NFLPI, all those kind of things. That's really about it from the new development department. But we got a whole lot going on in our next segment, so we'll spend more time there because, I mean, over the weekend, there really wasn't a whole lot of Packers news. I mean, you know, some outlets wrote features out there, but not a whole lot of new developments, really. So we'll just continue on.
The day ahead.
So OTAs begin on Monday, and here's the deal. The Packers basically hold 3 or 4 days of practice per week for the next 3 weeks, but only one of those days each week will be open to the public. So while the first OTA takes place on Monday today, consider it a dress rehearsal. It figures to take place behind closed doors inside the Don Hutson Center. One day for the coaching staff to get the rookies up to speed in an 11-on-11 setting before they have to do it in front of the public on Tuesday. So Tuesday's practice and all public practices are scheduled to take place at 11:30 a.m. Central Time at Clark Hinkle Field. So look forward to that then. That's the practice field adjacent to the Don Hutson Center. So don't go to Green Bay, even though OTAs start today. Don't if you're in Green Bay, or don't expect to go to Green Bay and watch the Packers practice. Only one day a week is open to the public, and that this week at least is on Tuesday. It takes place on different days. I suggest if you're looking for a schedule, you know, Google Packers OTA schedule. You'll find it eventually. But yeah, just be aware that these things happen at different days. Not every single practice is open to the public. So just be aware of that. If you want to check out the action, live near Green Bay, you want to see the Packers practice, you can do it. You just got to wait till tomorrow to do so. So 11:30 a.m. Central Time, the first time the public and the media will be able to get an up-close look at the 2016 edition of the Green Bay Packers. So probably not going to hear a whole lot about it today, other than you might hear their starting practice. Just no reporters, even not even the media's can see it today. So the behind closed doors, basically, they're gonna take care of some things. Like I said, a little bit of a dress rehearsal today. They probably really gonna spend a lot of time on trying to get those rookies up to speed, because tomorrow they do it in front of the public, and they don't want them making any mistakes or anything, or keep the mistakes to a minimum, I guess. Mistakes are inevitable, but keep them to a minimum, at least in the way the practice flows, more than anything. So anyway, that's the schedule for OTAs, and we'll learn more over the course of the week. We'll be talking more about it on Wednesday. You know, the practice on Tuesday is going to be open to the public, so we'll know what happened then, and we'll learn where the guys are lining up and who's taking part and who's not. And so that's what we'll be talking about on Wednesday's episode of Railbird Central, breaking it all down. Analyzing what happened, and that'll be a lot of fun. So Wednesday's episode will be a lot of fun at Railbird Central. But, okay, so also on Monday, the NFL Spring League meeting takes place in Charlotte for the next 3 days, of which presumably Packers president Mark Murphy will be in attendance. Perhaps, you know, he'll be joined by other representatives from the Packers organization. So this takes place every year. That's one of those league meetings that really doesn't get a whole lot of attention. It was the last one, the annual meeting, the owners meeting, that really gets a lot of the attention, because that's when all the head coaches go and all the general managers go. It's like everybody's there and there's a lot going on. And they hold all these press conferences and all that, and, you know, the coaches' breakfast and those kind of things. But this one, a little bit less exciting. But among the items on the agenda, the NFL will award the next 3 Super Bowls in 2019, 2020, and 2021. So you're going to hear about that, I think, probably on Tuesday, so tomorrow, so you can anticipate finding out about that, hopefully finding out where the Packers will be playing in these Super Bowls. But Green Bay is not going to be one of the places, so don't expect that. They're also going to consider some rule changes, and one that, you know, if I could provide some commentary on, They're going to cut the. This is a proposal here that they're considering cutting rosters directly from 90 players to 53 in one fell swoop, without the cut down date to 75 in between. Because right now they have that cut down to 75 players after the third preseason game. And I'll just say, I really don't like this proposal. I get why they're proposing, why it's been proposed. I get that, because that last preseason game, the fourth and final preseason game, the finale, teams don't want to play their starters because it's the last game before the start of the regular season. They don't want to get them hurt. And so the teams could use more backups playing in that game. But, you know, the first cut-down date, which takes place before that final game, so after the third preseason game, it kind of stretches things out a little bit and allows the personnel departments to better sift through all the available players on the market. Because, you know, there's always a little juggling at that time of year. A player gets cut from one team and gets picked up by another, either on waivers or he's signed a few days later. You know, that always happens, and especially after the last cut-down date, there's always a few players who were cut from other teams that were picked up. You know, just remember last year, the Packers cut Mitchell Henry, the tight end, and he was picked up, signed by the Denver Broncos. They might have claimed him on waivers even. That always happens every year. There's a few players like that, whether the Packers, you know, have players signed by other teams or the Packers sign somebody from another team. There's always a little bit happening there. And, you know, I just think this gives the personnel departments more time to stretch. I mean, you know, because cutting from 53 to 53 from 90, that's a lot of players to, like, go through all at once. This, I think, kind of gives you a chance to sift through them a little bit. And you know, yeah, it'd be nice to have, you know, their bigger rosters for that final preseason game, especially when you consider, like, even – you know, there's some injured players who won't play, and that kind of makes your roster even smaller. Even, you know, that they're not even available to play, even if they would, or things like that, and that makes things tough on teams. I don't know. Maybe they increase it from that cut down date from 90 to 80 instead, so you're only cutting 10 players that first time. Maybe that's kind of a compromise, perhaps. But anyway, so that's one of the rule proposals being proposed at the NFL Spring League meeting. So you'll hear about that probably. I don't think they start arriving till there's not going to be a whole lot of business that takes place here on Monday. You'll hear more about these things probably Tuesday or Wednesday. So anticipate that then. They're also considering overhauling the instant replay system, making more types of plays and penalties reviewable. I know the Baltimore Ravens, I think, were involved in this proposal. I honestly don't know how seriously they're considering this, so I can't really speak to it too much. I just know it's kind of on the table. But I don't know whether it's really got a chance of passing now, or it's they're just discussing it now and going to vote on it at a later date. I mean, this almost seems like it's the last chance now to implement something before the 2016 season. But, you know, maybe they're just trying to introduce it now and consider, you know, voting on it next year. For all I know, that could be the case. So stay tuned there. You might hear about it this week, but I really don't know how much you're going to hear about it. So we'll find out. Finally, the Packers, also beginning on Monday, is the Sport and Society Conference, an academic conference hosted jointly between the Packers and St. Norbert College, with several events being held at Lambeau Field, although most of those aren't being held until Wednesday. So, today, however, before he leaves for Charlotte, Packers president Mark Murphy is taking part in the conference kickoff on Monday, held at the Fort Howard Theater in St. Norbert. Several keynote speakers and panel discussions are going to be streamed live online live stream. So the same platform Railbird Central is streamed on. So if you're interested, go either to St. Norbert's website, snc.edu, or just Google Sport and Society Conference, and you'll eventually get there. So yeah, lots of cool things for the next 3 days from an academic standpoint where they're studying sports and athletics and things like that. Later in the week, there will be events held at Lambeau Field. Most of those, or all of those, are taking place on Wednesday. So we'll discuss those on Wednesday on the next episode of Railbird Central. But just to give you a heads up, there are events being held today and Tuesday before that that you can check out if you were interested in that kind of thing. So Packers sponsoring that. And that's kind of what we're anticipating today, the rest of this week, with OTAs getting underway. And that pretty much wraps up today's episode of Railbird Central. We're looking forward to OTAs. We'll have a whole lot more to talk about on Wednesday. It's interesting, I already got our guest lined up on Wednesday. It's Patrick Wu, a scout for the Senior Bowl. He actually works for the Senior Bowl, the college all-star game. There were five members of the Packers rookie class that took part in the Senior Bowl, including like tackle Jason Spriggs and linebacker Kyler Fackrell. So we're going to talk to Patrick Wu, who actually scouted all these guys. You know, when they hand out invites to the all-star game, this being the nation's premier all-star game, he has, you know, some intimate knowledge of these players, and we'll talk to him about the Packers rookie class. We'll break down what happened in OTAs. So it'll be very, very interesting episode coming up 2 days from now. So stay tuned then, and that pretty much does it. So thank you everybody so much for listening today, or watching if you're streaming it live online. And my call to action, as always, as usual, if you've not done so already, please give us a rating and a review on iTunes. It's the one small thing we ask. The show is free of charge, no subscription, no paywall. So if you could do us a solid, go to iTunes, search Cheesehead TV. It'll pop right up. We'd greatly appreciate it if you could do that. Give us a 5-star rating and a brief review. Don't have to write anything long by any means, but it helps people find this show, which we appreciate. So we'll see you later, folks. Have a good Monday. We'll talk to you in a few days. Thanks to Andy McDonald of NBC26 for joining us, and we'll talk to you later. I leave you today with a song called Ace in the Hole by the Radiators on Psy Fidelity Records. See everyone. Go Pack, go.